The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place every week for an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode is brought to you by Pearl River Resort. Welcome in to this week's Inferno Podcast, Season 2, Episode 14. We got some football to talk about here on the podcast. And as always, the rundown brought to you by Legacy Credit Union, the official credit union of UAB Athletics. Coming up on the show, starting quarterback right now, at least two of the last 3 weeks, Ryder Burton will be here. Very interesting, entertaining guy. Different kind of cat, very confident. But he'll be on the show. We'll get to meet him and talk to him a little bit about football and then things that make him tick. Also, Matt McCants. Rare is it that you find a guy that played and coached at the place that he calls his alma mater. Matt McCants has done that, got drafted in the NFL. He's the offensive line coach. We'll talk to him as well. We'll talk about the game upcoming, North Texas at Protective Stadium this Saturday at 1 o'clock. Hey, men's basketball is back at Bartow after the loss to North Carolina State, and they're playing High Point. Now, your first reaction may be, High Point, who cares? Well, that's an NCAA tournament team. So that's a big test coming up on Friday. And then beach volleyball, really hot right now. They advanced to the Sweet 16 of the AVCA Pairs National Championship. We know how good those guys can be. So we'll have all that and more coming up. Of course, you can follow us on YouTube, social media, again, wherever you get it. A lot of people get it on Instagram, some people Twitter, the website, Facebook. You've got all that right here. Be sure you link and subscribe, and of course, ring the bell for notifications when a new podcast comes out. So we'll take a break, come back with more of the Inferno Podcast coming up next. Welcome back to the Inferno Podcast. Scott Griffin here. It's time for Coach's Corner, and we got one of the best and one of the guys that's been very long tenured here at UAB, Matt McCants, coming in. He's our offensive line coach on the Blazer football team. Matt, how's it going?
Scott, it's going really well. Thank you so much for inviting me on this podcast. It's a great honor and truly excited to talk some Blazers football today.
Now, Ted just told us, and I didn't realize this, that I knew you guys were healthy, but one of only 12 offensive line groups to be healthy and start the same guys virtually all year. That's amazing.
That is amazing. And like I said, I always take it back to the preparation of what we did in the offseason. Obviously, the mindset of the group to go out and excel at a high level, it all started back in January and February. And obviously, the transfer portal, you bring guys in May, and then you get them to buy into the same aspect. You know, I'm a believer that if you put that work in and you train yourself in a manner that, you know, you want to have success and you want to put yourself in the right position, then, you know, good things can happen. You know, if you don't do that, then I feel like you have no chance.
So what is an offensive lineman, what kind of mentality, what do they got to do to get your attention?
I think the number one thing it starts with is confidence, the ability to go out and perform your task at a high level. You know, offensive line is one of the most unique positions on the field. You know, you're asked to block some of the best athletes on the field, and you're almost in a retreating posture. You know, your back, your kick sliding, and you're backing up. So to be able to do all these things, it's an unnatural task. So it's the time on task, the preparation that goes into it. I always say it's like a pro golfer. He's always working on his golf swing. It's like Steph Curry, or one of those great basketball players who's always working on a 3-point shot. Same thing in offensive lineman. You always got to be detailed in your work and how you approach it, and the seriousness that it takes. And so it's a day in and day out process that I really feel that our guys have bought into.
Well, I think it's amazing because depending on whether you're a tackle or an interior guy, guards or centers, you may have to block a guy 6'5", 240 that can really run, or a 350-pound Samoan that's coming up trying to push you back. And then we're not even talking about blitzers from everywhere.
No doubt.
The ability to have to be able to block that, you know?
And I say it goes back to also the guy next to you. And that's why we, you know, pride ourselves as a unit. And it started with the brotherhood mantra that we've adopted. And, you know, on the offensive line, it's really just the guy next to you in his foxhole, and you want to be able to depend on him. And so a lot of it comes down to communication. Hey, we're all seeing the same thing. We're all communicating the same way. We're all going the right way. You know, sometimes we might all go the wrong way, but at least we're going together. And so always having those guys in mind, say, hey, it's about you and the guy next to you and performing this task, because obviously I feel like, you know, just, you know, being biased, we have one of the toughest jobs on the team, and, you know, basically you don't really get any recognition for it unless something bad happens, and, you know, and so just taking pride in what we do, going to work every day and enjoying each other. You know, I talked to the guys last Thursday, and we just took a time out of the meeting to just talk about what we appreciated about each other. You know, and I always start off the things because, you know, it's like one of those icebreaker things. Nobody wants to talk.
Of course.
And so I always started off, but I told them about how I appreciated every person in that room because they're all overcomers. At some point, they had to overcome something, whether it was physical, mental, you know, spiritual, emotional, something. But to choose to day in and day out come to work with the right mindset, the right attitude, you know, and that's, in my opinion, that's how you have success.
And you kind of touched on it, being selfless. Yep. You're never going to get glory. I mean, the highest paid offensive lineman in the NFL, most people wouldn't be able to tell you who it was.
No doubt.
So can you recruit selfless?
Obviously, that's the thing that you try to look for in the recruiting process. Hey, what's this guy's background like? You know, how does he interact when he comes into the building? How is he, you know, as far as pushing in his chair when he stands up? You know, little things like that you try to get a beat on. But obviously, when you come into the atmosphere now, it's an adaptation that has to take place, because when you see a group of guys who are bought in and you're kind of want to be this outlier, you don't fit in.
Yeah.
You know, and being selfish in the offensive line where it just doesn't mix. And so, because it's about the group, it's about the unit, it's about a group of individuals moving as one to get to where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Matt McCann's our guest here. Two-time All-Conference here.
Two-time, yeah.
So what did you do right, you think, to get those kind of accolades and then get drafted in the NFL Human Lottery in 2012?
So, like I said, I start everything with mindset. And so for me, my mindset was, I only played 1 year high school football. I was in a marching band. And I
You're kidding me.
I played the tuba up until my senior year in high school.
Well, I get that.
And so, you know, my very first snap that I'm in high school during spring practice, I break my arm. All right, so I'm out, I'm at right tackle, I'm pulling around on the screen. This defensive back, probably about 5'5", comes in and puts his helmet right on my forearm, snaps it.
Wow.
And so during that moment, obviously, you know, you're thinking like, what did I get myself into? All these things. I mean, the very first play that I'm in. And what took place, though, and I said that was the defining moment in my career. What took place was when that guy broke my arm and I'm, you know, sitting on the ground, obviously in pain, he stood over me and he told me how band members don't belong out here. And this is what you get. And, you know, it just was a fire inside of me that lit up that I couldn't explain. And I ended up finishing the practice. And just, I wanted to show that person, and not only that person, but anybody else who was probably a naysayer, that, you know, I can do this, I can achieve. And it wasn't by, you know, anything that was easy, but it was all hard work and a mindset that, you know, no matter what, I'm gonna go out here and prove that I belong. And I just wanted respect, you know, that, hey, this guy, he can come out here and play and do a good job at it. So fast forward, you know, I'm doing all the drills, even though I got a cast, I'm doing all the drills and I'm doing everything. And so I get to the first game of the season, and the offensive coordinator sits me down and he says, hey, Matt, I really appreciate your hard work. You worked extremely hard. You've come further than anybody probably would ever imagine. But I have this freshman. right, that I want to start. And, you know, only got 10 games with you. And I got 4 years to develop this guy. So I understood that. And for me, I just always wanted to, you know, show that I belong. So at practice, I'm going extremely hard. I'm blocking guys. I was fortunate enough to be teammates with Nick Fairley, who played at Auburn.
Yes.
And so those battles and, you know, just the iron sharpening that took place in that. And seven game of the season, I'm sitting on the sideline. I had not had a snap, but just practice. And we're going down, we're playing our rival, BC Rain. We score a touchdown. And the field goal unit is running off, the kickoff unit is running on. And guy jumps up, the guy that was in my position jumps up for like a just routine celebration of like chest bump, comes down, tears his ACL. Come down, PCL, everything complete. Total destruction of his knee, and so that was my time to go in. And now I'm nervous. I mean, like extremely nervous. And you know, the thing that calmed me down was the thought about, hey, just like practice, right? Just like practice. And I just took that and those three games and was able to get noticed by UAB.
How crazy is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, that's why I always talk to the guys about just your mindset and your preparation. Nobody knows. What's the end story gonna be? But if you give up, you're the person that put that ending on it, you know. And so I always, you know, been that guy. No matter what, you always want to put yourself in a position because you never know what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's better to prepare for an opportunity and not get one, than to get an opportunity and not be prepared. And so just always telling the guys that, hey man, I was the guy that never played, that nobody thought about, that just got a shot, and it's about what you do with it when you get it.
And you've got some guys on your team because we've talked to them. Your center was kind of like that.
Yeah, no doubt.
The left tackle that I don't think he starts now, but that you've got players under your tutelage that you can identify with.
No doubt.
You weren't, you know, Willie Anderson, a 15-year All Pro that was
no doubt
top 10 in the country in high school, right?
No. So that's a testament to those guys. Like Adam, I was fortunate enough to be here. Like I said, I got here in 21. That was his freshman year, and just to see as a kid walk on, comes in, works extremely hard. I mean, in everything he does, he only knows one speed, and I just always respected him for how he worked. And I always just would talk with him and ask him what his goals were, and it was always just something that was just so intangible that, you know, hey, I want to get a scholarship. I want to work myself to get a scholarship.
Yeah.
Hey, I just want to work myself to be the backup guy. You know, I just getting in the rotation. Like, it's just, he always had something that he was working towards, and, you know, to see him go get it, I can go on and on. Caleb Perez, who's our left guard, had 7 or 8 serious surgeries, you know, in regards to his lower body. And, you know, they told him he was done. And to see him and push back, and you go, you know, down the list in that room. And like I said, just all of them are overcomers. Same way, like, I believe in, you know, no matter what, you have the capability to do whatever you want. If you put your mind to it, you work hard enough, you know, you put yourself in a good position. Not saying that it's going to be guaranteed.
No, nothing's guaranteed.
Nothing's guaranteed, but you put yourself in a good position to, if that moment does come, you're ready for it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then before we get back to UAB, you get drafted. So to go from what you're talking about just to get a scholarship is unbelievable.
Yes, sir.
But then you develop to all conference and get drafted. That had to be mind-blowing.
Yeah, you know, like I said, it's just, that was my mindset. Every day I wanted to show the person across from me that, you know, I'm a serious football player, not a tuba player. I would get that all the time. Hey, this guy's a tuba player. I don't know. And so it was just that mindset that I wanted to, you know, go out and show people that I belong. And I had tremendous coaches, man. Coach Neil Calloway, who was the head coach of the time, had coached Chris Samuels and tremendous offensive tackles. Coach Kim Helton was a tremendous coach who coached in the NFL at offensive line. Will Friend, who is still a great offensive line coach. I had just great people around me who was able to help mold me and shape me into the player that I became.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, so you've got, like, you guys are playing well offensively.
Yes.
Now, this past Saturday, not as many points as you like, but I think the gap, and this is just me, the gap is narrowing between true few wins in a row and what has happened in the past. Am I wrong on that?
No, you're absolutely right. And obviously, you know, just being on the cuffs, you know, it's frustrating at times because you know how good we can be. And Coach Moore always says it all the time. We're just really scratching the surface on how good we can be offensively. And it comes down to every day with our mindset coming in to work that, hey, we have to put everything that we can into this thing. The phrase that I've used with the offensive line is just, hey, we're all in. We're at the table. Hey, all of our chips, we're pushing it into the middle of the table. And let's, you know, give it everything we got because who knows what can happen, you know, when you just put it all on the table and say, hey, this is what we're going to be, and we're pushing towards where we want to go.
Now, you're blocking for two different guys. Kitna, when he's healthy, plays. Of course, Ryder has played the last two or three games.
Yes, sir.
He's a different cat, right? He's putting his hand on the ground, still making a play, stay alive, like he threw a touchdown to Hawkins this past Saturday.
Yes,
so,
sir.
What's it like blocking for two different guys, or you just do your job and you got to do what you do?
And that's the main thing, right? We tell our guys, do your job. You know, do your job. Do what your responsibility is at a high level, and you know, we let everything else worry about itself. You know, it's a funny thing. We like to say that the offensive line community is like a mushroom society, right? We're in the dark. We're by ourselves, and you know, we just try to tend to our own land and focus on the things that we can control. You know, how hard can we play? How physical can we play and our pad level? And how can we communicate better? How can we do our job better? And at the end of the day, we try to just control the things that we can control.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Matt, thanks for hanging out with us.
Yes, sir, no doubt.
Matt McCants, the offensive line coach. Again, Coach's Corner brought to you by Pepsi and Viva Health. We'll take a break, come back with more here on the Inferno Podcast.
If in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends. If you can keep an eye on your money along the way. If you know you have overdraft protection with no fee transfers from savings. When you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good, try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life. Regions Bank embrace the if in life.
Welcome back to the Inferno Podcast. Time now for our Blazer of the Week, and what a good one. What another guy that's burst on the scene, Ryder Burton, our quarterback for UAB Blazers, started against Memphis in that upset. We'll talk about that certainly extensively. The next game, you come in off the bench and finish, and then last week started against Rice. So what's it been like? You're a confident guy because I've hung around you a little bit. And so you were a good teammate. Obviously, you got to be in the quarterback room, but then there's that dynamic of I want to be, you know, I'm a play away from starting. So kind of talk about that mentality and how you've developed it here at UAB.
I was lucky enough to kind of get a first-class view of it at other schools. So I think Garrett Green was really the guy that hit that home for me. Like, listen, we're competing, but at the end of the day, we're brothers too.
Yeah.
And when I first got to UAB, I texted Kitna, and I was like, Kit, like, I'm here for you. Anything you need, like I just want to win ball games, right? And there's no question we've been a little short on that recently, but we're gonna do everything in our power to continue that. And 1,000%, I'm gonna have the utmost confidence that I can play and beat anybody in the country. That's just the type of competitor I am. But 1,000%, you got to be your brother's keeper in the quarterback room too. You know, it's a tough position, and a lot has to go right just for us to play well. That's outside of our control. So, you got to be there for him. And Any way that I can help him, I'm going to continue to do so.
Yeah. All right, so you're from Utah. You're really from Georgia, but eventually moved to Utah.
Yes, sir.
You stay there. You go to BYU. I know the story. You're playing. Coaches changes, so you decide to leave and go to West Virginia. So pick it up from there and then getting to UAB.
Yeah, you know, It's funny to say this, but I don't think I'd have ever left West Virginia if Coach Brown didn't get fired. I really loved it. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but Morgantown was a special place to me, man. It felt a lot like how Springville High School felt for me in terms of, like, small town. All anybody cares about is how football goes.
Yeah.
And I kind of lived for that. So it was a really cool place, and I had really good friends in that quarterback room especially. You know, Gary Green's kind of the older brother that I never had. But, yeah, once Coach Brown got fired and they brought in Coach Rodriguez, it's absolutely no disrespect to him. I don't fit that offense. Yeah. I mean, they have quarterbacks running the ball 15, 20 times a night, and that's just not who I am as a player. And so I got in the portal, and I had my fair share of schools call, but when UAB called, I looked up Coach Mortensen, and I had my QB trainer that I work with call Bryce Young and ask Bryce, like, what did you think of Alex Mortensen? When a Heisman Trophy winner says he's one of my favorite coaches I've ever worked with, you should probably listen.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The second I heard that, I was like, I'm all in. Let's see what this is about. So,
has it been what you thought?
1,000%. Coach Mortensen's my guy. I am the biggest believer in what that man can do as a head coach, as an offensive coordinator, as a quarterback coach, and I've said multiple times, wherever that man is next fall is where I'll be. So I'm the biggest believer in him, and there's a lot of people that are going to have some scrutiny for him. It's not Coach Mort, it's me. Coach Mort will always build in the answers for me to be successful, and so when we're not on offense, you can point the finger at everybody, but you can point the finger at me because he's going to give me the opportunities to be successful.
All right, so again, you're confident, right? Or you? I don't think you see right there. You said extremely. Yes, you wouldn't even let me tell you how confident it is of people listening. But I like that, and I think a quarterback has to exhibit that. So my point is, you start in a very difficult circumstance. Yep. Against a team that would be in the playoffs as of last week. I think last week's poll. We'll find out Tuesday. But Memphis would be in the playoffs right now.
Yes, sir.
And you guys beat them at home in your first start. Mm-hmm. If you're not confident, that's not happening.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
1,000%.
So tell us about the prep for that game and how you entered into that game. You know what I mean? Mentally.
Yeah. No, once again, West Virginia pays out. I watched how Garrett prepared for him. We played him in the bowl game. So it was my second time preparing for this defense, and it also always helps when you have a guy that's played 5 years of college football help you get ready for a defense. Like, I was going into that game as a backup, so, you know, I wasn't starting. But the fact that I got to watch his preparation and I took his notes from the game, I called him. He had, like, 12 pages of notes to give me, just stuff he saw from last year. So it gave me a good head start for sure. And then, you know, man, I just went in the game like, why not us? Why not me? You know, I really carry that with me everywhere I go. That you can line me up against anybody, and at the end of the day, that guy's gonna say, he tied his shoes up. Like, I'm gonna bring it. That's just the competitor I am, and that's the belief I have every single game, is we can beat anybody. But at the same time, you have to have enough humbleness and humility to go, anybody can beat us if we don't prepare right. So, just confidence comes from preparation, and I put in tons of preparation. And I mean, you can ask anybody in the building. I'm not leaving that facility earlier than anybody else. So I'm in there usually later than most coaches. So that's just that confidence comes from the preparation.
And if you don't have that, there's no way you beat Memphis, right?
No way. I mean, no. Just go out there and play ball.
Yeah. It's amazing. All right. So we fast forward to the next week. You're not starting. You come in. Jalen has issues. He's not 100% healthy either. But you kind of bring – I know you're not a runner from the 15, 20 attempts.
Yeah.
You're not Lamar Jackson.
No, definitely.
But you
not.
Do have some escapability.
Elusiveness.
Elusiveness, throwing off platform, maybe some things Jalen can't do. Talk about, has that just been natural for you the whole time? Or
part of it, for sure. You know, the high school I played at in Utah, we were a very run-heavy offense. And so you got really used to 7-8 people coming on the snap when you were playing quarterback at that high school. So you better learn how to make some people miss, or you're just not going to get the ball off very often at Springville High School. So, you know, I kind of started to pick it up in high school, and then from there it's just kind of carried. You know, it's never been – I'm never going to be a guy that runs a 4-4, right? I'm not that type of athlete. But I will be the guy to make the first guy miss every time. Like, that's my ultimate goal, is those O-linemen do so much for me that it's only right by me that I make a D-lineman miss every once in a while.
Yeah.
Right? There's never going to be a game where I play 100% clean in the pocket. It's just not going to happen. So as many times as I can make those guys right as I can, you know, it's the world for them, absolutely, because, I mean, it's no secret. Like, those guys are trying to play and get paid too, and sacks are usually the biggest thing that goes against them, and there's oftentimes those sacks can be on me too.
Sure.
But people don't take that into consideration. And so, you know, any chance
they don't
I can,
see that when
yeah,
they see
no.
the sack. They, you held the ball too
yeah.
long, right?
One that, like, there was one in the Rice game. I got outside the pocket, and it's a clear throwaway, and I tried to make a play I shouldn't have tried to make.
Right.
Right? And that goes on the O-line room where it's like, that's completely on me.
Yeah.
Right. So any chance I can to get out of the pocket and extend and make plays for those guys up front, I'm going to take the opportunity to do it.
Yeah. All right. So that game goes by. We go to Rice. You're named the starter.
Yes, sir.
No surprise there to you, I'm sure?
No. I mean, once again, it wouldn't have mattered if I was the starter or the backup. I'm going to prepare the same way.
Yeah.
You know, it's just I'm gonna be ready when my shot's called. And I didn't play as well as I would have liked to against Rice. There's a lot of
there's some meat
in that
on the
game.
Bone,
1,000%. Yeah. And there are a lot of things that didn't go our way, you know, that we can make excuses about. But at the end of the day, I've got to play better. I've got to complete the ball at a higher rate, and I've got to continue to improve as a player. So, but yeah, it was an unfortunate game to say the least. And I'm going to continue to go back to the drawing board and prepare even harder this week. See what we can do to help this team win.
Nobody likes to talk about being close.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hugh Freeze is taking a lot of heat on that
1,000%.
In this state. But Coach McCann's talked about it. There's still, I call it narrowing that gap, right?
Yep.
You guys seem to be where you played 2.5 good quarters, three
yeah.
good quarters, offensively and defensively.
Yep.
Saturday, you got a good defensive effort. You have the lead at the half, 17
yeah.
points.
Yep.
Second half, it doesn't happen.
1,000%.
So are you identifying anything that's keeping you from playing the four quarters, or is it different things every week and it's just a matter of – and I'm not talking about you personally, but
yeah.
as a team, right?
I think the past 2 weeks, UConn, I felt like through the duration of the game and then the second half against Rice, we got to be better on first down. I think a lot of that starts there when – like, if you look at the Memphis game, very rarely were we in third and long or second and long.
No, it was definitely
yeah.
ahead of the chain.
And
right?
So when I get to play quarterback, when they have to honor run fits and they have to fill the box, and it just makes my life easier. Against UConn, we're down 24-0 before we can look up.
Yeah.
That DC can do whatever he wants. He can send the house. That makes those O-lineman jobs incredibly hard, right? Because D linemen aren't worried about gaps. They're like, man, this is a stat
yeah.
game. Let's see how many sacks I can get. Like, there's no question. So the fire is burning a little hotter on that defensive side. And when you're second and long, a DC can do whatever he wants. So we just got to get back to being, and I do too, of jabbing. Like, just little jabs, throw your knockout punch at the right time. Just jabbing, getting to second and seven, second and six, to set up that third and 2-3 range, because then we have our whole playbook open and it forces DCs to be in a little bit of a tougher scenario.
Yeah, yeah. But you feel like you're getting better?
For sure. You know, I'm a third-year guy, but I'm still young in terms of playing
yeah,
experience,
yeah.
right? There's some things I definitely can improve upon. I took some sacks against UConn and Rice that just can't happen. I made a terrible decision on an RPO last game to pull it. There's things like that, but I'm definitely learning and getting better, and that's only going to continue. And the preparation that I put in the game is just – it's going to pay off. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. You know, at some point, things are going to click like they did against the Memphis game, and we're going to keep it rolling. So that's kind of my mindset on it.
I got to ask a question, and not to get too footballish.
Yeah.
But it's my opinion that – defenses have caught up with total RPOs. I
yeah.
think it's good to sprinkle them in, right?
1,000%.
But, you know, Hugh Freeze made a living on it at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it started. Now defenses, to me, are catching up. So sprinkling them in are good, but predetermined passes and runs is still the way to go. Off base, on point? Or depends
I think
game.
It depends week to week.
Yeah.
Rice, like, if you want me to get nitty-gritty, they play 7 mix. I mesh the ball, the nickel's going to play, I should have the RPO because that puts 7 in the box, we get a 6-man run scheme.
That's right.
1,000%. They played 22 carry. The nickel carries the punk player, and I pull the ball when I shouldn't have. There's only six in the box. We'll run for five. Like, there's just things like that where it's like, I'm not predetermining the decisions, but I can be better understanding technique and leverage and the overall, what's the word I'm looking for? Just kind of like the demeanor of the nickel or the safety, depending on the RPO. So I could have been better against Rice, especially in the RPO game. And I think if I'm a little better, that game might go differently. So it's on me, and I've got to be the one that leads the charge.
I got you. So what do you try to do? I know you try to get better each week, but what are you working on specifically for yourself right now?
I think just slowing down the mesh in the RPO game. I felt like early in the game, our backs really wanted the ball. They wanted to eat, and I allowed them to be a little faster through the mesh. I got to slow them down. And then on top of that, just
– and when you say mesh for people, it's the read.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because you got to make sure what they're doing to know
when
what
I put the
do.
Ball on the running back's stomach, I got to get him to slow down because I'm trying to read a person.
That's right.
Right? So I just got to get – I got to get those backs to slow down. And then on top of that, I've got to get rid of the ball when like know when to say when. Right, I'm a guy that creates a lot of plays back there scrambling, but there's also sometimes I need to get the ball out of my hands and get us a second and 10, live to fight another down. Yeah. Right, there's definitely some
it's identified.
Yes,
like you had the play to Hawkins,
1,000%.
Where you go and the pressure's coming, you have to stop because he gets around the tackle. You put your hand down because you almost fall down, but you get up and throw a touchdown.
1,000%.
So if you throw it away there, that doesn't happen.
No, but
you got to identify.
Yeah, 1,000%. When I'm out scrambling to the right and there's a good athlete that has a track on me, just throw the ball away.
Yeah.
Like, things like that. Just I got to be better at getting rid of the ball and then slowing down the mesh and controlling the tempo of the game, because against Memphis, we played on my timing. I mean, we were down 7-8 seconds on the play clock, and it was because I want to play chess. Let's see if the DC can out-chess me and out-chess Coach Mort, and they couldn't. So I need to get back to controlling the tempo of the game, making better decisions in the RPO game, and then getting rid of the ball on time.
Time now for the lightning round. That's where we have a little bit of fun and talk to these guys about what they like to eat, who they've hung out with, what are they listening to, all that kind of stuff. So Matt McCants joins us again. Ryder Burton is here as well. This is going to be fun because you're a coach, right?
Yes, sir.
And you're a player, obviously. So it's going to be a little different here. But yeah, let's start with the same question for both for a couple of minutes. You're from Georgia, so this is going to be different. And you're from Alabama. So it's interesting because most guys we talk to in whatever sport, they're not from here. You guys are close. Yeah. So what is your favorite food in Birmingham? It's kind of a food place, right?
It is. You know, I was shocked. There's a lot of good tacos around here.
Tacos?
I was blown away. I didn't think that would happen.
Wow. But like food truck stuff?
Los Valadores, Homewood, banging.
Really?
El Barrio, banging.
El Barrio's pretty good.
There's a lot of good tacos around here, and that was not what I was expecting. But overall, Pizza Grace is probably my go-to favorite spot. It's unreal.
It's unreal.
So that's where I'd go.
What makes it different for you?
Sourdough, crust is really good, garlic bread. I mean, they got new ownership. Broke my heart a little bit because they got rid of the garlic bread that I loved. But there was times I'd go get two garlic breads and just get the garlic bread and leave. So I'm a massive, massive garlic bread guy. But, yeah, Pizza Grace for sure.
What do you got, man?
See, I'm a breakfast guy.
And oh, so, really? Yeah, breakfast?
Yeah, breakfast. I can eat it breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So my favorite probably right now, and I go back and forth between Another Broken Egg and Big Bad Breakfast. So the ability to go in, obviously, to get breakfast, but they do have a great, like, lunch menu that you can get. And so it's one of those things that, man, I just tear it up, man. It's so good.
That's crazy. And an offensive lineman, you're eating a lot of
breakfast. Oh, man, I mean, hey.
Like,
man,
give me eggs, how many pieces of bacon?
So this is my kind of go-to, especially like, you know, you go on the road and you're at the hotel and they have breakfast there. So I go 4 eggs over easy. I go either, you know, grits if they're applicable. Obviously bacon, probably 4 to 5 slices. Biscuits if they have it. But I'm a lightly buttered toast guy.
Really?
So, I just enjoy it, man. It's one of those things that, like I said, you can't get enough of. It's savory, you know.
Savory, what a great word.
Salt and pepper in the grits, though. That's kind of the big debate, is if you put sugar in your grits or if you're a salt and pepper guy, but that savoriness.
All right. And I'm going to stop it right there. Bring the mic a little closer to you. Just bring it closer.
Gotcha.
There you go. Much better. So we can make it out there, right?
Yep.
Okay. So every morning?
Every morning.
Home on the road.
Yeah.
You're getting a good breakfast.
I'm getting a good breakfast because, growing up, you learn that the breakfast is the most important meal of the day and those type of things. And then it's just one of those things that I can carry it on. Like I said, I can have it at dinner time if not, There's been some times we get back on the road and you get in 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, hey, Waffle House, you can't go wrong with it, man. Some eggs and bacon and grits anytime.
You got to do smothered covered.
Oh, right? Man, yeah, no doubt, chomped.
I got you. And we're bouncing back and forth. And I know you've got some, and it may be Bryce Young. Who's the most famous guy? And when we say, I'd rather instead ask you met, because a lot of people have met people, but did you
actually hold a relationship with?
Yeah, even if it's relationship loosely, right?
Probably Jackson Dart.
Jackson Dart?
That's one of my good buddies.
How'd
Jackson Dart would be up there. We're both from Utah, trained with the same guy out in 3DQB. Yeah, I'd probably go Jackson.
You got a little Dart in you, I think.
That's my guy.
Does that
guy,
come
man.
From the academy?
Part of it. The throwing mechanics are similar because we work with the same guy. And then part of it's a lot like he's from the place my dad grew up, So it's like I've hung around a lot of the same people Jackson's been around and stuff like that. So I guess you could say a little of the same upbringing in a way. So yeah, for sure.
Is this fairly consistent text or no?
Every once in a while, enough. Every time I see him, it's a pretty lengthy conversation. His little brother's quite the little player.
Yeah.
He'll be out there catching for Jax when we're out there working. And, his dad's a great guy, great family, just awesome, awesome people. And, when he got drafted, obviously shot him a text, shot me back. And then when I played against Memphis, same kind of ordeal. Yeah. So, yeah,
very
no
cool.
1,000%.
Did you know that?
I did not.
See, that's what I love about Lighty, right? You learn about your coach and player. Yeah, it's kind of cool. All right, so you got drafted. So you got to have some names.
Yeah, man, some really great names. But the name that, when you asked that question, that just popped into my head immediately was Joe Webb.
Joe. Jackson Olin, current Jackson Olin
coach.
Yes,
man, he was my quarterback when I was here. And just obviously the things that he was able to do on the field. And then obviously his career that he had in the NFL. I mean, this guy played freaking gunner on punt, backup
played
quarterback,
everything.
Receiver,
lasted a while.
And lasted a long time.
Yeah.
And transitioned to boxing, was boxing, had his opening debut fight at Bartow. So it was just one of those things that, man, obviously a great human being and a great teammate, but, just a huge fan of the things that he was able to do. It was one play I'll never forget. He scores like the 60-yard touchdown with no shoes on. Like his shoes, I might have missed the block or something, And he just takes off and loses his shoes and scores. So he was just tremendous to watch and obviously, one of my best friends.
Shout out Webb because they went 4-6, made the playoffs this year.
No doubt.
Only one win the year before.
Yeah,
crazy.
Man, and like I said, just the things that he's been through and obviously those kids, he's able to be a great leader for them and teach them about life.
All right. So if you weren't playing football, what would you be doing?
See, obviously a ball coach. That's where the next stop is. But if, like, nothing
so
to do
So in the future
football,
and now?
1,000%. Nothing to do with football. Yeah, you're either catching me hunting birds from dawn or till dusk, and then probably consulting, doing
ducks,
what my dad does.
Or
I'm a upland guy. I've got a pointer, and so it's not your typical South thing, but quail, pheasant, chucker, stuff like
what
that.
What is it about that that grabs you?
That's what Utah has to offer.
That's it.
Well,
they've got skiing, snowboarding. What are you talking about?
Well,
hiking?
Okay, hold on. We're gonna get into it. My dad's big hunter.
Yeah.
Dad's side of the family's big into horses and hunting.
Okay.
So that's kind of what I grew up around. And then just on top of it, in terms of the dog, it's a lot like football. Every day is different.
Yeah.
Every dog is different, and it kind of creates the same challenge for me that football does. So I really enjoy it.
Is that your mindless thing to get away from football, too? Not that you can do it here.
1,000%. Well, see, I do get lucky. There's a guy here that helps me out pretty good. Yeah, he's got a chunk of land about 30 minutes away. And
oh, so you can.
Yeah, he has some quail on his property that he lets me come out and have a good time on.
You didn't know that either, did you?
I did not.
I'm getting you in trouble.
Yeah.
Burton's got guns shooting birds. That's what he's doing.
Coach Mort knows.
Yeah.
Coach Mort knows.
Yeah. All right, so same thing for you. No, and don't tell me tuba player.
No, well, I can still dabble a little bit. You know, my wife bought me a tuba probably about 4 years ago.
Get out.
And I still play it, you know.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, man. I just, you know, some things you just can't put down.
Got mad a few minutes ago that the guys
were telling right, you. But then, you know.
What is happening?
I don't know, you know. So, but.
Wow.
If you know, honestly, I was a criminal justice major. And so I'll probably be doing something in regards to a juvenile counselor or advocate some type of deal like that. I've always. It's been passionate about, you know, young people and obviously the decisions that they make. And, you know, you look at our judicial system, man, you know, you got a lot of times, you know, these kids, they just need the right direction and the right path. And, you know, same thing as a coach, you want to be able to help guide, you know, young people and to make the best decisions that they can make.
All right. So quarterback, offensive line coach, former offensive lineman, obviously. Give me something about the quarterback position. Media guys like me or fans, or we don't know, we don't understand, we don't get, and it kind of gripes you a little bit. And then we'll go to offensive line. If there's anything.
I really can't stand when people just look at stats. Stats don't tell the full story. Like, for example, like I was guilty of this. I ended up looking at stats. I was looking at the North Texas stats. They've got like the 8th best passing defense in the country, right? Well, they played Army and Navy, right? So Army and Navy only throws the ball 10 times a game, right? So there's 70 yards. And then I go to UTSA, and Owen McCown's having a field day over there at UTSA. And he only throws for 80 yards. So I'm like, what the heck, Owen? Like, you got your tail kicked.
Yeah.
I go watch the tape. I'm like, oh, he got hurt. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. So there's just –
So if you only look at
numbers. You only look at stats. And, like, he also had 4 or 5 drops in that game that would have been the difference of – 11 for 20 for 80 yards and a touchdown. It would have been like 16 for 20 for 200 and 3 touchdowns.
Right. Difference.
It's just game. Like, yeah, it's just when people just look at statistics, it's like it's a completely different ballgame than if you're actually out there playing. So that would be my thing.
The good news for offensive linemen, there's not many stats. So that may be the bad thing. Yeah. So what is the most misunderstood thing about you guys?
I've always said this. The amount of time it takes for offensive linemen to get ready for practice or for a game, like the amount of
Why is he laughing? Yeah, the quarterback's laughing.
Yeah, because it's like you almost going to battle. So you, I mean,
it's tapes, very true.
Braces, a freaking Bengay rub on your elbows, and so it's a process that goes into it. Finger tape. I mean, you know, you look at my fingers. I'm all jacked up, and so it's. To get your mindset and the things that it takes to go out there and perform your job, it takes a while.
You're getting hit every play.
Every play.
On the extra point attempt.
Oh, man.
You're getting hit, right? Punt return. You're getting hit.
Yeah, you're getting
nobody
hit.
Else is doing that.
Nobody else is. So it's just the amount of time that it takes and getting your mindset ready for that. And it's a deal, though.
Wow. Yeah. Selfless.
And the guys always – They joke with me like, "Coach McCann, we need time, we need more time." So it takes a minute to get going.
Well, we wish you guys good luck against North Texas coming up Saturday, and thanks for hanging out with us.
Absolutely, thank you, sir, for having me.
Yeah, Ryder Burton, the quarterback, Matt McCants, offensive line coach, here on the Inferno Podcast. We'll take a break. Come back with more in a moment.
If in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends, if you can keep an eye on your money along the way, if you know you have overdraft protection with no fee transfers from savings, when you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good,
Try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life. Regions Bank embrace the if in life.
Welcome back to the Inferno Podcast, this week in Blazer Nation, where we check out what's happening with all the sports at UAB. Of course, this segment's brought to you by Children's of Alabama. Let's take a look. The UAB women's cross country is in the South Regional NCAA Championships. That's coming up on the 14th at 8:30. So good luck to the women's cross country team on that. Also, women's volleyball at East Carolina at 6 o'clock on the 14th. Men's basketball this Friday, of course, against High Point. The new basic home times, again, until TV gets involved, 6:30 here on a Friday. So check that out. Football will kick off at 1 o'clock at Protective Stadium against North Texas. We talked about that earlier. Women's volleyball back in action on the 16th at Charlotte on their extended weekend road trip. That's a 1 o'clock game there. And then women's basketball at Chattanooga, also at 1 o'clock. That'll be a good challenge for the women's basketball team. And then we come back for men's basketball against Rhodes, another 6:30 tip-off there on November 17th. So plenty of basketball, volleyball. Good luck again to the cross-country team as they're in the championships. A lot of stuff going on this week in Blazer Nation. And so that'll do it for this week's edition of the Inferno Podcast. Thanks again to Ryder Burton and Matt McCants for hanging out with us, and thank you for watching. Again, we'll see you next week here on the Inferno Podcast.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.